and we're live.
Excellent. Thank you, Camille. I don't think we quite have a quorum yet, so I might just give it another 2 minutes, see if anyone else joins, and then we'll call things to order.
You could roll call the current people to kill time.
Sure, we can do that. I'll go ahead and roll call.
I'm not in a rush or anything.
Looks like Marianne is joining us here too, so we're getting close. I'm just going to go through the list that I'm looking at in alphabetical order here. So Mike Eister.
Present.
Alma Jesus.
Present.
Liza Whalen.
Present.
Carl Yeh.
Here.
People are moving around on my screen now. Marianne Nolte.
Here.
And then Philip Shim. Philip, yeah. How do I pronounce your last name?
Shim-Hue. Like
Shim-Hue. Thank you. Perfect. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And then I am Leah Rausch. I am here. Did I miss anyone?
Me.
Who just said that? Oh, Pete. Sorry, Pete. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think 8, and looks like Franny's joining us. That's 9, so that's perfect. Franny, I'm just finishing up roll call.
I'm here. I was having trouble getting on for some reason.
No worries. Thanks for joining us. Okay. I know Amy said she was not able to join us. We might have a couple other folks joining us here this evening, but I'll go ahead, call us to order, and we can jump in. Thank you all for joining us this first Tuesday of November. I know there's nothing else going on and nothing else drawing people's attention away. So hopefully this is a welcome distraction, but we'll do our best to kind of charge through a pretty packed agenda, and appreciate you all making the time this evening to join us. Just really quickly, I don't really have any preliminary remarks, just a quick change, small change to the agenda. So Tom is going to frame up a little bit about long-range planning, kind of LTD's long-range plans and policies that kind of govern the work and help us to kind of understand how they'll connect to our future conversations around the strategic business plan. So he is just going to do that briefly before Andrew leads us into a presentation on the mobility management plan. So just a quick shift of rearranging those on the agenda. We're going to shorten that long range planning discussion for this evening, but we'll certainly be revisiting it. So we have plenty of time for the mobility management plan, as well as some stiff updates as well. Any other announcements from folks?
You know, I'll just say, I don't know, this is for Camille. We'll need Andrew, and there may be some questions for some of the stiff projects that would require Cosette and or John to be participating. Just FYI, there's Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thanks, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're gonna go ahead and move right into public comment then, if there's not any other questions. I'll read through this quickly. I see a few attendees that I don't recognize, so potentially folks looking to give public comment. While Camille sets that up, I'm just gonna read through those instructions. So, this part of our agenda is reserved for members of the public to address the committee on any issue. So if you would like to indicate that you would like to provide testimony, you can use the raise your hand button on Zoom. If you're attending on your phone only, you'll have to press *9 on your phone, and that'll raise your hand. When it's your time to speak, Camille or I will call your name. And again, if you're attending via phone only, we'll call out the last 4 digits of your phone number. As you start your public testimony, if you can state your name, your city of residence, and who you're representing for the audio record. And then once you've provided your testimony, your hand will be automatically lowered. Please don't raise your hand again, because we're just offering one opportunity to speak this evening. If you want to share something with us but don't want to speak publicly, you are welcome and encouraged to submit testimony via email. You can submit that to Camille@clerk@ltd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. So if we have anyone wishing to give public testimony tonight, we'll pull up a timer on the screen so you can kind of track where your 3 minutes are, and we'll let you know when your 3 minutes are up. Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to give public testimony? And if so, go ahead and raise your hand on Zoom. Camille, I'm not seeing anyone, are you?
Hi, Leah, sorry about that. I was on the other line with Councillor Moore. She was having some connectivity issues. I do not have anyone to provide public testimony. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, well, we'll keep cruising. And Sherry, welcome to the meeting. We can see you. And you are on mute if you are saying anything, Sherry, but. We'll just keep going here. All right.
Go for
okay.
it.
Okay, we can hear you now, Sherry.
Good.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Glad you made it on. Okay, let's dive in then. We just have one action item, which is the approval of minutes from our October 6th meeting.
Move approval.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second. I think this is Marianne.
Made a motion. Marianne seconded. I'm just going to do a quick roll call vote. Mike Geister.
Aye.
Sherry.
Aye.
Thank you. People keep moving on me. Alma.
Aye.
Pete.
Aye.
Eliza.
Aye.
Carl.
Aye.
Franny.
Aye.
And Philip.
Hola.
Great. And this is Leah, and I also approve. Okay. Sounds like all in favor. With that, we will move swiftly as requested into an update on the Formula Fund STIF projects. So unlike last month, we are not going to make a formal recommendation to the board, but we'll be getting some information on the different projects that the staff are proposing so that next month we are well prepared to make a recommendation to the board. With that, I will hand it over to, I believe, Tom.
Thank you. And I'm going to start by sharing my screen. And actually, the first thing I want to discuss is the schedule. Can folks see the schedule that I'm bringing up here?
Yes.
I see nodding of heads,
yes.
I'm going to assume. Obviously, this is all process that's passed, but what I wanted to get into is we are in the process, and I will go through our project, proposed project applications in a minute here, but I wanted to review the schedule a little bit. We're sitting, there we go. We're sitting here today on November 3rd. Yesterday, the STIF discretionary applications that you reviewed at your last meeting and recommended to the board, which the board approved for submittal, were submitted to ODOT. So you can check that off and we'll wait to see what happens. With respect to moving forward, then we're just gonna be dealing with the Formula Fund projects, and tonight our plan is to review the projects that we've proposed. And if any of you, I know some of you were participating in the STIF Advisory Committee meeting, which met earlier this afternoon, and went through all these projects. And one of the key things is a change to the process. We had, I'm having issues here. We had originally the red letter line there, the stiff forming of applications due to LCOG, those were originally due next Monday. But unfortunately, ODOT's process was such that they didn't get the applications themselves, the actual application to use, available statewide until yesterday, which would have given us just a week or less, actually, to prepare the applications to submit to LCOG. And so in talking with LCOG staff, they're proposing now that the applications would be due to LCOG on December 1st, which happens to be the day we're going to ask you to approve or actually recommend approval to the board for our formula fund applications. And let me talk about what that means. So ultimately, these projects are going to be submitted for approval to ODOT. LCOG is helping facilitate the discussion countywide with respect to formula fund applications and are staffing the stiff advisory committee, which again met earlier this afternoon. And in order for them to facilitate the overall countywide process, they need to have the applications from all the applicants. So LTD, LCOG is going to seek funding through formula funds. And there might be some others. The LCOG needs all the applications so that they can put them together and look at the overall, what the ODOT terms the stiff plan for Lane County. So in that context then, just so you know what happens next, once all the applications are into LCOG, they're going to work with the stiff advisory committee to develop a final plan recommendation to the board that would be adopted at the board's January meeting. So the purpose of that process really is to have, we'll see what all the projects from around Lane County are. The plan needs to meet the ODOT forecast of revenues that'll be available over the next 2 year period. And so there may be some moving around of projects with respect to priority and cost and things like that to basically balance the project applications to the effectively the budget that's available. So that's in a nutshell what that process is going to look like. And so that means that the stiff formula fund project recommendations by SPC would be developed at your December meeting. A week later, now this process that LCOG's managing for the stiff advisory committee may change. They're going to look at how many meetings they need. For example, the November 17th meeting that's above their row 15, I think Kate Wilson said they were going to eliminate that meeting and probably schedule another one further in if they need it. But there'll be some changes to the overall schedule. But for SPC, once you know after tonight, you'll have a sense of what the projects are that LTD is submitting. At your December meeting, we'll ask you to develop a recommendation to the board, and then. The board would be approving LTD's formula fund projects as the local transportation service provider at its December 16th meeting. And we'll be reviewing also at that same meeting, the countywide formula fund projects as a qualified entity. And if you have questions about those two roles that the board is playing, I can talk more about that. And then, like I said before, at the January 20th board meeting is where we would expect the board to approve the final formula fund projects as the qualified entity for Lane County. And then those projects would be submitted to the state on February 1st. So maybe before I go into our projects, do you have any questions about the process that we're going through
here? You may have noted that, and I missed it, but the stiff November 17th meeting is going to be canceled.
Right. I mentioned that.
Okay.
Now, Mike, you might recall, I don't remember, Kate had scheduled an additional meeting in case.
Yeah, we did. December 22nd.
Okay. So there you go. And we'll update this schedule to reflect what happened tonight. So any questions about the schedule? Any questions about the multiple personalities that the board is playing as the locally local transportation service provider or qualified entity? Any of that?
So, Tom, this is Leah. I guess I just want to clarify. So staff will be putting forward those applications to LCOG, you know, simultaneously with this committee making a recommendation.
Right.
How does that change of timeline, I guess, impact how we give our recommendation to the board?
Well, so we're submitting these applications to LCOG so they can compile all of the applications from around the county. Mm-hmm. Your action will be to the LTD board as local transportation service provider. And so, you know, imagine that for a moment that there was another entity at some level that was the qualified entity, and that we were just processing our projects to submit to that group. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of confusing, but your action as an advisor to the local transportation service provider is really just taking what we're applying for. And to the extent that SPC was to say, you know, this particular project is something we don't recommend, we can amend that as part of the stiff advisory committee process. Mm-hmm. So you see how they interact. And again, there are several SPC members on
right.
the stiff advisory committee.
So in short, the change in timeline on the LCOG side doesn't change how we approach our work and our recommendation.
No, it just gives actually everyone, in a particular, I mean, we have the majority of the project applications, an opportunity to really do a good job on the applications.
Right. Okay. That is the clarification I needed. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, any other questions? If not, let me go into the project list. And again, we have project sponsors. Project sponsors in the room. And you can all see the project list here.
Yes,
I see a nodding of heads. So I'm just going to go briefly through these in the order you see them. And if you have any questions, we can talk about them individually. And again, that's where the specific project sponsors could answer questions. So to begin with, the first project is really a continuation of the mobility on demand service that we are providing to Cottage Grove. And in the long run, as SPC starts to see this process, this stiff process continue, you'll see a lot of these projects that are just continuing funding for operation of an existing service. But that's an example of one of those. The mobility as a service technology, that's something that Robin Mayall is managing. And that's really something that you saw as a discretionary project. It's the interagency project used to create basically an app that would give individuals the opportunity to look at various modes to meet their mobility needs. And then integrated with a mobile wallet that you could pay for. So that's what that project is. I think you're familiar with that. The next item is mobility on demand pilots. So again, in keeping with kind of our approach with MGO and the Cottage Grove service. We're going to be looking at other mobility on demand types of pilots to develop our understanding of what works, how it works, you know, who the appropriate partners might be. And also that's what that project is. The mobility management plan, you'll hear more about tonight, but it's intended to help LTD in making strategic decisions about these new mobility forms of mobility. Real-time signage is an updating and replacement of our real-time signs on the first two MX lines, so the Franklin Corridor and the Gateway Corridor, to be consistent with the newer signs that we're using on West Eugene. The real-time predictive software is to help us increase the accuracy of our real-time predictions for bus service. And so that's the type of thing that users of our services will hopefully find useful in having a better, more accurate sense of when a bus might be near them. The sign management software is something that can allow us to remotely manage the signs on the MX platforms. Right now, those kinds of updates need to be done manually. So it's really, you can see the theme in some of these technology projects is really just updating some of the older investments in technology we've made. The transit resilience plan is something that as we've experienced the operating transit in a COVID environment and reflecting on the ups and downs of the economy over the years and how that's affected our service, we want to develop a plan that can help us with respect to how we sustain our service and identify priorities for the use of our resources so that we can assure that transit access is sustained in an equitable way. We have, the group may be more or less familiar with our shopper service, RideSource shopper service. This first project would be an expansion of our operation of that service. And then the next one down is an additional vehicle to use in that expanded service. We are looking at ADA paratransit service being funded through the STIF funds. Again, I'd let Cosette or John talk to that project, but that's basically what would happen with that. Related to that, for our specialized services, we're looking for funding $1.2 million to replace vehicles that are currently part of the aging RideSource fleet. The student fare and low-income fare programs, these are, again, continuations of projects that we had in the first round for those programs. And we can, you know, if you have questions about those, we can answer those. Platform validators are related to the TouchPass system that we've implemented on the system. With the platform validators, we'll be able to use the TouchPass technology on all our MX platforms. The integration of fare collection providers within Lane County is a project to, again, as the name implies, you know, think about all the different services that you may have heard about outside of LTD service. You know, we've got the Link Lane service that LCOG operates, Diamond Express that goes out to Cottage or Oak Ridge, the Roadie Express that operates within Florence. The idea is to create a common platform for fare collection so that there's a lot of coordination that can happen as a result of that. And then rolling stock for fixed route. Again, this is match for the purchase of electric vehicles. It would match federal funds and actually allow us to not have to use our general funds to match those federal funds. And then stiff administration, that's something that's going to be an ongoing expense. Last round, we had a different number here, but through our experience, we've identified, Christina's identified what the right level of resource is to administer our stiff funding. And that was the in-district. And let me just give you briefly the out-of-district. Stiff administration for out-of-district funding, again, has been right-sized to our experience over the last couple of years. Diamond Express expansion of operations for the first one there is for an additional trip on the weekday. And the second one is Saturday service pilot, something Cosette can explain, but we had that in the first round, but we're not able to implement it due to COVID. A 40-foot vehicle for Diamond Express to allow us to move the current vehicle, which is aging, into a backup position. And then finally, we have the, oops, I'm sorry. A new vehicle for service expansion based on, I'm sorry, I'm out of order here. The first one is expansion of our operations for the Rodi Express in Florence. And then the second one is a vehicle to facilitate that expansion. And then finally, there's a stiff out of district reserve. And a stiff program allows us to, or provides for the opportunity to seek funding for a reserve for service that we're operating, in this case, out of district, that could be used in the time of, in a downturn where resources were not available. And this would allow a reserve to be built up to sustain those services. So with that, that's the project list. And again, tonight we're looking to see if you have any questions, any and all questions. And then next month we'd come back to you. And again, if you have questions next month, certainly ask them, but that's where we'll be asking you to make a recommendation to the board. So any questions on specific projects?
Tom, was the Diamond Express, were they going to reduce that as a continuation?
I don't know, maybe Cosette or John can, are you reflecting on the conversation at the STIF Advisory Committee?
I am.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have John or Cosette lay that out.
And I may be confused, so.
Well, I think it was for this year, actually, where we were doing that, but. John or Cosette have their hands raised. I don't know if you have to call on them or.
I am pulling them over right now. Bear with me 1 second.
Okay.
While that happens, Tom, something that I was thinking in terms of looking at this prior to the meeting, I think for me, it would be helpful if this kind of spreadsheet noted somehow what is kind of sustained programming versus new programs or projects. I
sure.
see that
that's a good
like,
idea.
The low-income fare program and the student fare program, my understanding is those are just sustaining those year over year, but a lot of this is new too. So that would be helpful for me.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think what I might suggest is something like this, where we could just identify projects as sustained, something like mm-hmm. that. Is that what you're looking
for? Colors or a new column, either
yep.
way. And then
okay.
for the December meeting, if this can be, if we can look at this all like it is here, because in the meeting packet, it was all split up into multiple pages and it was
oh.
impossible to read. So That would be helpful for me.
We can definitely figure that out. And I'm just reflecting on your question about continuing programs. I think what we might do is list those first. And those are the, you know, three or four that, mm-hmm. that were continued over from last time. That'll be easy to, okay. to process. I appreciate that comment.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is John Allen. Just following up on the question regarding Diamond Express service. So we have projects for both the current biennium and as you see in this packet as part of the upcoming biennium. And so the projects for the Diamond Express expansion in the current biennium have been put on hiatus as a result of COVID. And so that's to add a fourth trip for weekdays and the addition of a pilot project for Saturday service. So we still do plan to implement these projects at a point in the future. And so we have those also listed as projects as part of this upcoming biennium that this group is reviewing now.
Any other questions at this point? Again, these are brief descriptions of these projects, but
I see a hand from Pete. If you want to go ahead,
So this is for the next biennium. That would be 21-22, right?
July 1st of 21 would be the first.
Okay, so just to make sure it's clear in my mind, you said earlier that the funding for this stuff is going to be very dependent on the revenue, and this is a payroll tax. So is there some jeopardy because of the economy that some of this stuff is not going to get funded?
Well, a couple things to that, Pete. The ODOT has been providing kind of what I'd call an official forecast of expected revenue, and that's gone up and down over the last several months. But we're using the most recent projections that they have. Just so you know, kind of where those forecasts are coming from. I'd add just a bit of context, if time permits, I could probably find there's a graphic that the Department of Labor, the State Department of Labor puts out that talks about employment over the kind of year over year change in employment. And of course, for all the major metro areas in Oregon, of course, everyone's lost employment, right? What's interesting is the Eugene Springfield area has lost. So comparing September 19 to September 20, we were down like 3.5% in our employment. The Portland area, by contrast, was between 10 and 12% down. So we've fared relatively well, or comparatively well, maybe it's more precise, with respect to our resources. And again, ODOT's forecast factors those kinds of things in. So then let me talk about the situation where those are forecasts and reality hits us on July 1st and, you know, something's different. So in one case, we find that we don't have the revenue that we had. The process would be to look at how to, you know, you could readjust the funding. The state would have a process, I think, that they would use to readjust projects. It could be proportionally, it could be, which might not be their best approach, I'll just say. Yeah, or it might be some other way, but you know, it obviously, like any kind of budgeting process, it needs to meet the budget. And in the case of there being more revenue, you know, that raises other opportunities, I suppose, where projects that might not have been funded in the original plan might be added to the plan. There are a number of ways in which that might be processed. Does that help?
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I was curious about the transit resilience plan. Is that intended to be COVID or, you know, communicable disease specific? Is it kind of an all disasters approach, or?
It's really a broad, I mean, you could think about it as disaster. If the pandemic is an example of a disaster, you could look at it in terms of, again, like I was saying, there's ups and downs in our economy. Historically we've added service in good times and cut service in bad times. And this resilience plan is really intended to give us an orientation as we head into, you know, those kinds of periods in terms of you know, how we manage the system down or up based on again, as I said here, establishing priorities for the use of the resources we have available to assure, you know, equitable mobility throughout a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
So I'm sorry, I was unable to attend all of the STIF meetings. So I had a question about the bike share expansion. Could you explain that?
Sure, that was actually a project that we had added based on a conversation with Eugene and Springfield staff. But since that time, I had the opportunity to speak with Rob Innerfeld, and he said that's actually not something that would be, you know, they're looking for and need to do other things to the bike share system before they're ready to expand. And so that project might be something that could come back. And I would actually anticipate that the city of Eugene would apply for that resource when the time comes.
But still through STIF funds?
Well, that's the source we're talking about now. I think knowing Rob, he'd be looking at all kinds of resources.
Okay, and then the other question I had has to do with the vehicle purchases for instance, the Ride Source Shopper Service. So what kind of vehicles are those? And I know that I missed some of the discussion earlier in STIF about electric vehicles. So what are we talking about for the 12 vehicles?
This is,
okay, good, John.
Yeah, this is John Allen again. So we have several different vehicle purchases listed. One for, you had mentioned the shopper shuttle. And so this is a service available through RideSource, primarily intended to assist older adults and people with disabilities to make social shopping trips. So this service is currently on hiatus, but we're looking to re-implement at some point in the future in a post-COVID world. And these trips bring people together to shopping destinations, whether it's Walmart or Winco or Fred Meyer, to be able to do shopping trips in a group, in a social setting. And then they actually can get assistance from our driver in loading and unloading groceries, bags, and as well as a refrigerated space for, say, frozen goods. And so we're actually looking, due to the high demand of the service and the community value that it provides, looking to expand the service. And so we have a line item both for an expansion vehicle, which is a 30-foot cutaway vehicle, as well as funding for operations. The rolling stock for ADA paratransit service, as part of our fleet procurement plan, we're investigating use of alternative fuels for upcoming vehicle purchases. So I believe that's still in progress, but that's investigating uses such as electric, hybrid, CNG, hydrogen, all the other different types of alternative fuels that are currently available and trying to find something that might work or fit well within our community. So that's certainly a part of something we're investigating for all of our future vehicle purchases. And then as far as the rolling stock itself, the Ride Source service and our paratransit fleet currently is approximately 70 vehicles with an average estimated useful service life of about 7 years. So we need to regularly be replacing those vehicles to keep service on the streets.
So at what point would you determine that you would be using alternative fuels rather than gasoline for these vehicles?
So I'm eagerly awaiting some results from the fleet procurement plan. However, I'm not the best person to speak to that. So I'm sure we can bring that information back to you at a future meeting as far as when we're estimating that to be complete.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Leah, I'm here. I was late, but I'm here.
Hey, Greg, Councilor Evans, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm here.
Any questions, Greg, about the STIF projects or?
No, Tom, I not really. I mean, I've been through this dance a few times before.
Okay.
Okay. I know how it works.
Okay. Very good.
Tom, I just have a quick question. This is Marianne. I'm looking at the mobility as a service expanded pilots. Do you have kind of a short list of where you might think about doing those pilots?
Actually, I might suggest that as Andrew goes through the mobility management plan, that might be a good question to ask him. If
awesome.
That
Thanks.
Works.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
Okay, if there aren't any other questions, just a reminder that we'll be revisiting this next month to make a formal recommendation to the board. So it gives you a month to ruminate and think about this and send any additional questions you have for when we revisit next month. We'll
Great.
Transition over to long range plan and mobility management plan.
All right. Let's see, I'm sorry, this is. Okay, so Andrew and I didn't have a chance to coordinate beforehand. So I've got a couple of PowerPoint slides to kick things off. And again, as Leah articulated, this is intended. What I wanna go over really briefly now, and this is something we get into a lot more detail on later is just a high level overview of the structure of our plans and in the process. Again, the intent is just to place the mobility management plan in that within that structure. And I'll also, Leah wanted me to speak to just again for the group to understand how the strategic business plan process would work. And so with that, let me bring this up. Again, this is many of you may understand this, but I don't know if you've seen it displayed or described quite this way, but annually LTD adopts a new annual budget and it refreshes the 10-year community investment plan. For the past few years, we haven't had a long-range financial plan in place. But that would be another document or plan that we would refresh on an annual basis. And then another set of documents that we have that would be updated every 3 to 5 years, adopting a new comprehensive operations analysis. So that's on a 3-year cycle, refreshing the 10-year strategic business plan. So again, that would be every 3 years. And then I added in there refreshing the 20-year long-range transit plan, which I look at as a more of a 5-year cycle, though our current plan is older than that. And then periodically, and this is just one example of one of the more periodic plans that we have, would be the mobility management plan. So that's something that, again, as Andrew will describe, is something that will help us in making decisions. And again, as particularly this area grows and evolves, that plan will need to be kept updated. It's just that, you know, it may not be on a strict schedule. Are there any questions about how that would work? And again, we'll dive into each of these in more detail in the coming months. I don't hear any questions. Andrew, are you ready?
Yes, I'm here. I'm ready.
Okay.
I don't mind. If you're all done, let me share my screen. And
I'm going to stop sharing.
Okay. Can everyone see a PowerPoint presentation? I just want to show, I got two monitors. I just didn't want you to see the notes.
Yes, we can see it, Andrew. Thanks.
Okay, great. thanks for having me here tonight. Looking forward to kind of talking through what we've been working on. So you may recall, this is a stiff funded plan from the last cycle, but it took us a while to get going. So some of that money we're applying kind of to roll over and fund the mobility management plan in partially in this stiff cycle and partially in the next biennium as well. It just doesn't, our timeline didn't quite line up perfectly with the stiff bienniums. So I want to walk you through just kind of what mobility management is, like what we mean when we talk about that, and then we'll talk about what LTD is going to do and what this plan will really help LTD achieve, hopefully. So basically, mobility management, I really like this definition. It comes from the National Center for Mobility Management, but it's really an approach, I'll just quote this, it's an approach to designing and delivering transportation services that start and end with the customer. And the next little bit's important too, right? It's a community vision where the entire transportation network, public transit, private operators, cycling and walking, works together with customers, planners, stakeholders to deliver transportation options that best meet the community's needs. So it's really a shift away from kind of, you know, we have a 40-foot bus, you show up at this stop at this time, which is certainly still a component, right? That's a tool that we have. But mobility management really does just kind of take a more neutral approach and say, how do we move people in the community? What's the best way, particularly with a customer-centric approach, what's the best way to get that person where they need to go? So it's really about expanding our toolbox, expanding kind of what responsibility we have in the community to provide mobility. And I think a lot of the conversation ends up looking kind of like this, right? Like you're not a mobility manager if you just have a bus and that bus runs a fixed route, and you are a mobility manager if you have all these other cool things. And you know, there's a lot of stuff over there. Some of that is LTD and local specific. And you see things that we don't have in town, like scooters. And there are probably 35 other things that could be on that slide that are pretty cool. But I think mobility management is really a spectrum. It's not an on and off switch. You know, on the low end of mobility management, you probably just own and operate fixed route assets. You may be disintermediated. And what I mean by that is your customers may not know who you are, right? Like your branding may not even be on the bus, and you have really little responsibility. So a good example might be like FedEx has local contractors that deliver packages. As far as you're concerned, it's a FedEx package, right? But someone else may have delivered that. They're disintermediated, but they're a whole transportation, you know, parcel delivery company owned by someone locally, but you don't really care. You're getting your package shipped by FedEx. You know, another example might be the company that we contract with to deliver our ADA complimentary paratransit service. You know, LTD is not, we're not putting LTD drivers, right? Those are not employees of LTD delivering that service. There's actually a company called MTM that does that, but they're disintermediated. People think that it's LTD. You call LTD to get that ride. On the other end of the spectrum, I'll call it, for lack of a better term, we're providing total mobility, right? We're competing with the private car. We're saying we'll give you a ride anywhere, any way that you want it. You know, people use the term mobility as a service. And I really do mean that, like as a service, like you pay a subscription of $400 a month and you can get all the rides on any platform you want, car share, TNCs like Uber and Lyft, all that. both of those extremes probably don't make sense for a transit agency like LTD. And I think that we're already somewhere in the middle. We already have a bunch of tools, and I'll show you some of those in just a second, but we already do lots of things. So we're not on the low end of the spectrum, but we're also not on the high end of the spectrum, and we probably never will be. It's probably not a strategic advantage. So this is illustrative. This is not, this isn't supposed to be like the list. This is just a couple of things that we do. And there are a few goals on there that we're helping to support too, right? Transit service, particularly the broad array of transit services that LTD delivers to the community. There are a lot of different components to that. And then there are a lot of different goals that we hope to get out of those. And that's part of why delivering transit is complicated. And we have to make trade-offs because we're doing a lot of different things for a lot of different people. So these are some of them. We are actually in the midst of creating what I would describe as a real version of this. I mocked this up in like 3 minutes in PowerPoint, but we are hoping to actually document it and kind of show how all of LTD services are coordinated in a strategic way, or you know, discover which ones aren't. So we're actually building an inventory of LTD services right now. We kind of just kicked off the plan, and I'll talk about schedule later, but we are kind of engaged in this work already. But you can see that, you know, the slide's full. I couldn't fit any more. There are a lot of things that are not on this list that we do that are really customer facing and deliver services to our customers. So we're already doing a lot of things. So why is LTD talking about this? Why mobility management? You know, I think that partially in, you know, there just seem to be more options out there today. And some of those are maybe new versions of old options, right? Uber and Lyft are a lot like a taxi. Maybe they're different. Maybe they're not. It doesn't really matter, right? There are more options out there, bike share, potentially scooters. And that pace of change seems to be speeding up, right? So the question becomes, how can LTD continue to provide high quality services to our customers and to our region, given the proliferation of new options? And, you know, I don't think it's a question of like, should we ever engage with any of the private operators or any of the new public options? I think the question is, how can LTD be successful in delivering those partnerships and projects? So the broad goals of the plan are really to help us to kind of take stock of what's out there, explore how we can successfully do pilot projects and create a framework that will help us to make better, we'll make more strategic decisions about how to engage with all of these new modes. And one of the really important things is that it has to be future-proof, right? I just said all this stuff changes really fast. Bike share started out, you know, decade or so ago, really taking off. And then everybody thought for a while, whenever they put out those dockless bikes, that the bike share was just doomed, right? And it took about 18 months, but almost all of those dockless bike share companies, the original ones, not the e-bike ones, they're all out of business now, right? They scrapped all their bikes because scooters came out, right? That was 18 months. It's been about 18 months for scooters. They're not going away, but there will be something else that comes along, and we really want to future-proof our plan. And as far as partnerships go, you know, we've kind of been doing those things. We've been expanding kind of how we deliver service, right? So the Diamond Express is a great example of that. The state approached LTD, I don't know when, but sometime quite a while ago, and asked us to be the operator for that, even though they're out of the district. And it makes a lot of sense for LTD as a transportation provider to do that. But then we added at some point the Roadie Express, and we've added other things. And I don't think that we've always done that in a super strategic way, even though all of our services are super important to the community. We are, you know, choosing to engage in some things, and we don't have the capacity to do others. And then kind of more informally, if you think about partnerships, you know, we do a lot of things with our customers. And I think one maybe a little bit abstract way to think about it is, you know, like bikes on buses, right? We're not even actually providing anything other than a space on the bus to put your bike. But we realized a long time ago, we can partner with our customers, and you can put a bike rack on a bus. And then, you know, at least for three people, we can really expand their mobility in the region by doing something simple. So it's I think this plan is everything from how do we partner with our customers to and our local partners to provide infrastructure that expands people's mobility, but also programs and services like mobility on demand, or you know, potentially even someday working with scooter companies or transportation network companies to provide some type of service to our region. So what we're going to do, kind of really, really broad strokes here. I didn't want to bog you down in a scope of work, but I'm happy to expand on any of this. We're starting out researching existing conditions. You know, where is LTD at, and where's kind of the state of the industry at? We're going to look at different types of activities and partnerships. So what I mean by that is I want to create kind of a what I'm calling a typology of management structures. What about these partnerships? Like, how can we be successful in doing partnerships? There are many different roles that LTD could have in a partnership. You know, we could turn over money to one of our partners from like stiff application process. You know, we could, like I said, be the contracting agent like we do for Oak Ridge and the Diamond Express. We could buy vehicles and maintain them. You know, there are a lot of different things that we could do. And you see that playing out with our different MOD projects, right? They're structured very differently. And we're learning a lot from how those different structures can benefit us or hinder us. So working on that, just kind of state of the industry, what are other agencies doing right now? So we're going to do some case studies. We want to write a guide to pilots that really help the agency quickly and efficiently spin up pilot projects, because I think a lot of these things we want to test out before we really commit to long-term implementation of them. So we want to figure out kind of best practices on how we can run pilots, how we learn from pilots, and really be kind of more nimble than a lot of public agencies tend to be. And finally, the real like meat of it, like I said, the framework that will help us to make those strategic decisions. I have some ideas in my head about how that framework should work, but we're going to hire some consultants, and we really want to, I think, engage the agency, engage our consultants, and talk with our partners and really figure out kind of how LTD can start to really evaluate how to figure out how to be successful. The end of this won't be, you know, a one-time list of projects that says it'd be a good idea to put mobility on demand in this neighborhood. Really, the goal is, like I said, a future-proof way to really evaluate things. We will have a list of things that maybe make sense today. But again, the mobility management plan, and I'll talk about this in just a moment, it kind of helps to feed our other plans. It helps us to make those decisions strategically, and it tells us how we can be successful in doing something. It doesn't say that the most important thing for LTD to do is to partner with scooters right now. And that's where I think our other plans, like the strategic business plan, come in and help us to prioritize the many different things that LTD has on its plate. So key deliverables, kind of a different way to think about what I just said, but these are the deliverables that come out of those tasks that I mentioned. And Tom kind of, I put it a different way than Tom, because I saw Leah was asking for a slide about how they all fit together. And in my mind, like I said, the mobility management plan tells us potentially the many different ways that we could meet a set of needs in the community. You know, there's maybe a list of projects that make sense at any given time. We can keep refreshing that. We can run ideas through as they become, you know, available if someone approaches us with something. But really, it's up to kind of those yearly planning processes like the budget and our medium and longer range plans like the strategic business plan and long range transit plan to say, this is actually the important project, right? We'll probably have a list of like 50 really awesome projects that could really help everyone in the community. We're not going to have the budget to do all of those things. So it's up to our other planning processes, I think, to say, do this now. In terms of schedule, we are kind of just kicking off. We're going to do a procurement. Sorry if this is hard to read. It's very difficult to get all of this onto a slide, and I couldn't figure out how to break it up into two slides. But maybe the highlights from this is we're working on it now. We're hoping to get some consultants on board early next year. We're going to have to do an RFP process for that, I think. And then we're going to wrap this up probably in early 2022. So a lot of work over the next year, which brings us to, you know, when we're going to come back to SPC. So a lot of things we want to do, I think, are like education and capacity building, both for staff, but also for SPC and our board. I think we're going to learn a lot of things about how LTD can be successful. But we do want to come back and we want to get feedback from you all kind of about how we're thinking about all of those different deliverables. So, you know, how you all see it potentially being strategic for LTD to be a certain type of partner. And it probably varies a lot, you know, but we want to get your feedback on how you see LTD's role in partnerships, doing pilots, and also just broadly at some point, we really need to talk about, you know, where on that spectrum, if you remember, I had a spectrum and it was, I only defined to the two ends, but, you know, in a broad sense, how much responsibility do we want to take on right now? And that involves our partners too, right? At the cities of Springfield and Eugene, Lane County, we need to hear from them too. And we'll do some work with our community about, you know, what role do they see LTD playing and how much do they want us to do and what are the problems they want us to solve? And finally, we'll come back with the framework and talk with you about that. We want to get your feedback and really make sure that it's something that you all feel is going to be useful to you. Because I think that this framework, like I said, we'll have a list of projects that we could potentially do now. But really, the point is that we'll have a way to talk about trade-offs and make decisions. And really, your group in the future will be tasked with saying, you know, these are the projects that we recommend moving forward at some point. And here's why. And these projects make sense. So we want to make sure it's useful to you. So we'll come back and work with you on that framework. So I think I talked long enough. I don't know if we're behind or not. I apologize. We are happy to take questions, though.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. That was super helpful. Carl, I think, has a question. I'll go to him first.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom and Andrew. This question is actually from Emily Secor, who's apologies for not being able to make it. She was wondering about what the goals were. What do you hope to get from the consultant?
Yeah, partially, you know, it frees up some staff capacity, right? We have a lot of projects going on, strategic business plan. Don't forget about moving ahead. You know, we got those are, I think, just things that are on my radar. We also have all of our normal processes. We're making service changes. So some of it's staff capacity. Some of the idea behind bringing consultants on, we've been going back and forth on kind of the breakdown of how much, and there's going to be a lot of staff work. But part of the idea behind bringing a consultant on too is we want to get some ideas, maybe from outside of our expertise and maybe even outside of our region. You know, we're hoping that the consultants can really help, maybe even facilitate some of the conversations about kind of where LTD, it would be strategic for us to end up in terms of how much mobility management we want to take on. So really leveraging some expertise that we don't have. It's not just, you know, having them do work the staff could do. I've actually worked with Tom quite a bit on what would be the appropriate tasks for a consultant. And a lot of things are appropriate for staff because we really have to own this. It's really LTD specific. I think our region is unique. We're not Portland, we're not New York. So all of these partnerships, all these modes, they work differently here. And we really need to make it LTD specific. And I think our staff are the right people to do that. But a little help on specific tasks would be, I think, good too.
Great, thank you.
Andrew, do you mind going back a slide? So I might have missed this on your Gantt chart, but do you anticipate doing any sort of like public involvement on this project, or is it mostly kind of internal work?
So it's kind of internal, I think. There is, I think, engagement with stakeholders. I have not envisioned a process where we're going to, like, let's say, do an open house because it is kind of technical in nature. I think that maybe one of the things that's missing here is, in my mind, one of the activities in that framework, right, we have to work with our stakeholders and identify where these needs are, what those needs are. That's qualitative and quantitative. I don't think it's just a data-driven exercise. There is a qualitative aspect to figuring out these needs and how we can meet them. But I don't really see a place for maybe traditional open house, because we are just trying to figure out how LTD can do these technical things. And really the public involvement process might be more appropriate as part of, the budgeting process. I don't know what's planned for the strategic business plan, but this is really just the technical how. And then it's kind of up to our board and our community through other processes to say, here's what we do. Because a lot of things are going to make sense, right? We know that there's a ton of unmet need in our community. And I don't think I can solve that all at this point.
Yeah.
So I can add something to that maybe. I don't know where this figure is, Andrew, but where you had the mobility management plan connecting to the strategic business plan connecting to, yeah. This is a good example. And just as Andrew described the mobility management plan, it really is a strategic process for LTD to assess the various opportunities that are going to exist in that broader mobility management space. And then it's really through the strategic business plan and long-range plan and just looking at, some of the other documents, certainly budget year-to-year opportunities that might present themselves in a broader sense, where I think SPC and the rest of the community would weigh in. Again, I come back to the purpose of this mobility management plan is really to give us a tool to weigh opportunities and to really understand where different, we're talking about different mobility options, but we're also talking about different roles that LCD might play, right? So it's piecing all those things together. And as Andrew said, there may be 50 things that we identify, and it's really going to be this, SPC, the board, the budget committee, all those groups are going to have to weigh in terms of helping LTD determine what the right trade-offs are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep, definitely. That's helpful. Something you all might consider, I think it looked like, you were potentially going to pull together like a TAC or some other type of stakeholder group. This committee might be a useful place to help to generate like additional suggestions for some sort of stakeholder group. So maybe coming to us just with like, here's kind of who we're thinking about pulling together might be a useful way to make sure we're kind of being inclusive of all the different community partners. Cause I know there's a lot of interest on this committee in that work.
Definitely, that's a great idea. We can certainly do that.
Other questions or comments for Andrew?
A question about on the next slide, you talked about on your timeline, interviewing mobility company interviews. So explain that to me.
Sure, yeah. I just, part of that is, I think it's part of our background research. I think it would benefit us to understand maybe just to cherry pick one example, like Uber, what they think about, how these partnerships could work. I think that a lot, we're already doing the research side of things. We're working on a memo, and hopefully we can send that over to you guys as an update at some point when we get it done. But we're trying to synthesize the research. A lot of that's academic. And frankly, we're taking a look at a lot of, I don't know how to say it, like white papers from companies. And the way academics think about it, the way that maybe a transit agency thinks about it, and the way that a private company who might be on the other side of that deal thinks about it are not always exactly the same. So I think as part of our background research, we just want to try and reach out to maybe some companies and understanding that, we're not going to do this by ourselves. I think that partnerships are a huge part of how we are successful at doing this. So not just getting the agency perspective, we are going to talk with other transit agencies about their experiences with nonprofits, with for-profit companies. But I thought it would be interesting and certainly informative for us to try and talk with private companies about how they see all this working too, because they're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to work with them. So we need to know what they think about how this stuff works.
Yeah. So kind of outline what the benefits would be for them as well as for LTD, but also, so we're talking about a lot of connectivity, correct? And LTD being the umbrella organization, sort of connecting all of these. Is that my understanding?
That's certainly one potential future, right? Like LTD is the regional transportation provider around here. We have a pretty unique role. So I think that that is certainly one potential future. I don't want to say that that's the potential future, right? We still haven't had the conversations about whether or not that makes sense. It might make sense for LTD to just drive 40 and 60 foot buses around in the same route every day, right? That might make sense. It might make sense for us to go and start a nonprofit transportation network company and try to compete on that space too. There are a lot of things that we, along that spectrum that I described, that we could try and do it. And part of it is figuring out where we go. I certainly think that as a regional transit provider, what you're describing is certainly one of the futures with more potential, but that's really where we're going to have discussions, I think, with this group, with our board, with our community partners. So with you know, Springfield and Eugene and Lane County, with others, frankly, too, about how we can do our best to provide that mobility.
Any other questions or comments before I move us on? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Andrew. That was super helpful, and I look forward to kind of hearing how this all evolves and how it informs our strategic business planning process. Okay, so I think we have one more presentation here from Jennifer on SCYP.
I believe I will be giving that presentation tonight. So let me share my screen. And you all can see, I assume.
Yes, we can see.
So, you all, or most of you know, some of you participated in some of the projects that we had as part of this Sustainable City Year program. We had the opportunity to participate in what has become a nationally recognized program at the University of Oregon that brings different departments together and different student groups at different levels to work on our issues. And so we're going to go through that tonight. Give you a background on what the Sustainable City Year program is, what the goals were of the partnership. Go through a range of the Sustainable City Year projects, which you received as an attachment, an overview that Jennifer actually pulled all that document together, and it's a great summary of our experience, and then kind of what happens next. again, as I said, and Mark Schlossberg is one of the heads of this program. If some of you might know Mark at the U of O, but he started this as a way of really trying to bring the students' creativity and knowledge to a particular, and the reason it's Sustainable City Year program, they were focused on cities early on, but to bring students to a city or a county or a special district like LTD, they've done work for tribes or other levels of government for a year working on specific projects that we've identified as priorities through their existing coursework that'll give ideas and solutions to us in terms of certain challenges we're in and that we're having. And I know Mark likes to say, I've been working on, I've had the opportunity to work with him on this program in the past. We had a project as part of the City of Springfield's Sustainable City Year, and that's where I kind of first ran into his model. But he's always talking about how the students don't have any preconceived notions about how things should be or how hard things are going to be to do. And so it was exciting to bring them on and just let them loose on a wide variety of things. yeah, so like I said, we were a collaborating partner with the City of Springfield in the 2012-2013 school year. And Mark had been working with us on a number of things, trying to get us to be a partner for many years. And, you know, either the funding wasn't there or we weren't in a place to do it. But a couple of years ago, AJ and I went up to Portland and saw that TriMet, who had been the Sustainable City organization that year, how they had made use of the program. And we decided that this was something we really wanted to try and do. And so, again, the goals of our partnership were these general things, supporting our mission long-range planning goals. So you'll see some of the projects and how they align with some of the issues we're working on. Projects that could help us promote sustainable practices, develop kind of new orientations, partner with the students, collaborate to meet community needs, and then plan for an uncertain future. And I'll, there's a specific thing related to that I'll talk about. This is the broad range of things that were completed over the course of the year. And I'll just express kind of personally, I found it very rewarding to work with students. We had students at the undergraduate level that maybe hadn't been through a lot of coursework yet, and maybe not a lot of life. On the other end of the spectrum, we had graduate students, second year graduate students that were really sharp and prepared and, delivered a lot of value at that level as well. So we won't go through all of these projects, but just want to give you kind of the range of projects that we're looking at. Probably one of the highlights of this effort, and it was just, fortuitous timing, I guess, to have had graduate students from the business school work with us to develop a more structured way of forecasting and making projections on our finances and expenditures on a rolling 10-year process. And so what they built for us was a dynamic financial model and a dashboard that, and Christina has, our finance director has, made use of this in this last fiscal this fiscal year budget. And so the idea was that would help us look holistically at a number of factors that might affect the budget and better understand the impacts of those changing conditions, what the fully allocated costs of different scenarios would be, a number of things that ultimately as that bullet says, better inform our decision making. And again, we made use of their tool to help generate a scenario for the budget that again Christina used to help outline the different outcomes and the uncertainties that were faced. They built this model to help us estimate our payroll tax revenues and what the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic might be. And again, this was something that flowed into our decisions around the fiscal year budget this year. There was a lot of creativity that went into this, and I'm going to try and play this. Hopefully this works. There were some of the classes that got together and created video and a lot of other things for us to use.
I think for most people, when they think of LTD, they think of the bus. But LTD is so much more than just the bus.
We value our community. We value our people here. We value the impact to the environment, and we value fiscal responsibility.
When I became LTD's very first sustainability program manager, I wanted to take a comprehensive look at all of our operations and understand where we could make a difference.
LTD and the board of directors take climate change very seriously. We know it's a real problem, and we are actually in a unique position to be able to do some really important work in this area.
The number one thing LTD can do to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions is focus on increasing ridership. The ridership benefits that we provide for our community results in emissions reductions of more than 2 times the impacts from our fleet.
Frequency is a key component of people's decision to take buses or not take buses. If we can provide 10 or 15 minute service on frequent transit networks, it makes the choice easy for people to take the bus.
We know that LTD is responsible for emissions coming from our operations and our vehicles and our...
Oh no. What happened? Sorry, we had a...
Has for the last year, we've been testing electric vehicles on our system. We've been piloting those electric vehicles in order to determine whether the range and the operating profile will meet LTD's needs for getting people to and from their destinations.
This will be a reduction on our overall greenhouse gas emissions. We're excited to continue to play our part at LTD to lower the greenhouse gas emissions.
We know that climate change will impact our community, but not everyone will be impacted by climate change equally. So we know that we have to protect the most vulnerable members of our community. And we want to be here for all of those folks to provide them with the independence to achieve their goals and get them from point A to point B.
Oops, so, sorry. There you go. So again, that's just an example of some of the products. Again, I'd encourage you to look at the compilation of the different reports. Every class submitted a summary, and again, Jennifer did a great job finishing that off and really creating a polished product. We'd like you to look through that, see what in your minds might be useful for consideration and inform some of your discussions as well as things that we're doing. So with that, I would ask if you have any questions.
I don't have any questions, but I'll just say from a graduate student perspective, I think Marianne, Eliza, and I all got to work on at least one of these projects. I think it's a great partnership and great that LTD got to invest so much in working with so many classes on so many different projects this year. So it's great to hear that some of it's been useful and thinking about how to continue integrating the results.
Great. Other comments or questions? Okay, well, thank you for that.
Excellent. So I think I'm gonna, the last thing on our agenda, unless I'm missing anything, is just to revisit our discussion on our regular meeting time and looking at alternative dates to see we can accommodate or pull back a Lane County Commissioner to participate with us. So Camille, if you want to pull up the date information that you have.
Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Okay, so I polled for the first Monday, Wednesday, Thursday of the month, second Tuesday or Thursday of the month, and third Thursday of the month. So what's listed here are, so I received 10 responses, and out of those 10, these are the tallied numbers, and what's highlighted are the highest responses, highest quantity of responses.
So is the fives and the sixes are the responses or the time?
We so for the first Wednesday of each month of the month, we received five yeses basically. And for the same for the first Thursday, second Thursday, Tuesday and Thursday, we received six yeses and five yeses. And then for times, we received the highest volume of yeses for 5 to 7 and for keeping it the same, 6 for 5 to 7 and 5 for keeping it the same at 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay. So if I'm reading this right, then there's no date, recurring date that works as well as first Tuesdays for everyone on the committee, because dates typically only got five responses.
Well, so out of the 10 responses I received, six people voted that the second Tuesday of the month would work better. That's the highest number we received. And six of the 10 responses stated that 5 to 7 would be the most optimal time.
Leah, I don't know how you're thinking about this, but one question would be, and Camille, you can tell me, because I don't know exactly how you asked the question, but this was, I think, a list of preference, not necessarily that they couldn't make the other time, right? So it would be trying to figure out if any of these more highly preferred time dates or days of the week would work better or work okay for most people. But I'm just, that's just an idea.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Carl, did I see your hand?
You did. I was wondering, do any of these times, are they whichever commissioner that is would come, could that commissioner come at that time?
I did not receive a response from the commissioner, and I did not seek one further than just sending the initial email poll. I thought that it might be best for us to discuss it first and maybe go to the commissioner with one or two options instead of
other way
such
around.
A broad array. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
since
wonder,
I didn't receive a response yet.
I wonder if a strategy would be to do, since not necessarily to prefer a commissioner over everyone else or anyone else, but because their schedule is possibly more constrained, that we see what the best time for a commissioner might be and see if everybody else can do it. Maybe get two preferred times for the commissioner and then go work from there.
I think that's a great idea. That makes sense.
Could I just add that for Springfield City Councilor, whoever that might be, Tuesdays are always going to create a problem if we have a holiday on Monday. So if there's a holiday on Monday, we postpone the meeting until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's always an issue for City Council Springfield.
Yeah, and I might be recalling this wrong, but I want to say that the county meets, they might not meet weekly, but that the second Tuesday might also pose an issue for them as well. So maybe Camille, you can take the three dates that are not Tuesdays here, and ping Commissioner Burney again, and just see if he, you know, has dates that would work, and then also let him know that these are kind of the dates that are starting to flesh out for us.
Absolutely, I'm happy to.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or concerns from other committee members?
The only thing I would say is, hopefully it doesn't come to this, but, you know, whatever dates we might get from Commissioner Burney may mean that someone else can't make it either. And I will just have to sort that out. But I'm just saying that's a potential outcome.
Yeah. Yep. And I know we said at one of our previous meetings that it was important to have a commissioner, but I also want to honor the folks who are here now. So it's a fair point, Tom, and want to make sure we're being mindful of that. So maybe, Camille, we can connect offline between meetings and hopefully have a better idea of where we're at so we can make a decision in December.
That sounds great.
Excellent. Thank you. I don't think I have anything else for y'all today. So we'll plan to give kind of a regular update to the board at their next regular meeting. And then at our next meeting in December, as Tom mentioned, we'll be focusing on making a recommendation on the STIF formula funding. We'll be kind of, I think, revisiting our strategic business plan and looking at what comes up for 2021. Anything else that folks want to flag for future meeting agendas or make sure is on our radar in terms of discussions or information that would be helpful to get?
What was that date in December, Leah?
I believe it's December 1st.
Yes, that's correct.
And we'll be at our normal meeting time in December, so no changes until 2021. Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, I know everybody's anxious to go make yourself more anxious by watching the news. So,
I won't be there on the 1st.
Okay.
My birthday. I'll be 60, so.
Well, happy early birthday. That's a good enough excuse, I guess. Okay. Well, unless there's anything else, thank you all for joining and participating, and we'll see you all next month.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Leah.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Night.